Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Today we begin a series of best of episodes, and we're going to focus today on building culture on the O-line. And this comes from some of the best that we've had on the show over the last 700 episodes in 3 years. And we're excited to be able to put some things together that we think are of high value, some great messages from great coaches. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about our national conference, which is coming up in February. As you get ready to expand your knowledge this offseason, make sure to save the date for USA Football's 2020 National Conference, taking place February 21st through the 23rd in Louisville, Kentucky. This is more than just a clinic. It's your chance to hone your ability to teach proven and effective techniques while connecting with coaches across the country. Most coaches are satisfied if their regional clinic delivers just one or two nuggets of information. National Conference delivers a one-of-a-kind, high school-focused, live field experience that will give you an abundance of drills and techniques to improve your team's performance. Coaches can deep dive into both X's and O's and technique at classroom and chalk talk sessions. Finally, USA Football delivers top keynote speakers year after year. Here's a few of the keynotes from previous years: Mike Tomlin, John Gruden, PJ Fleck, and Jeremy Pruitt. As an added bonus this year, paying attendees can get access to the advanced tackling system and contact system for blocking and defeating blocks following the event, and have a chance to earn the new advanced contact certification. If you're ready to get to work on next season, don't miss out on USA Football's National Conference. Learn more at nationalconference.usafootball.com/podcast. As we sit down and start to look at the 2020 season, we certainly want to think about what the culture is that we want to build. And most teams have that in place. But as position coaches, we also have to look at how are we going to build the culture within our unit. Certainly it has to fit in with the overall vision, with the overall culture of the team. But there's things within each group that you have the ability to be able to focus on and make sure build your unit in a way that you're going to get the performance, you're going to get the behaviors that you want out on the field, and ultimately those are going to lead to the winning results. So we've picked out some clips from some of the best coaches we've had on the podcast, ranging from small college all the way through the FBS. And these guys really shared some insight into how they build their offensive line culture, how they build things within their units. And there's different things that they've emphasized. So each one adds some insight into things that really help build the offensive line unit. So let's take a listen to this first one. Coach Matt Jones is really known for what he's done with lineman lunch. He's now the offensive line coach at the University of Tennessee Martin. And he's just done an excellent job of putting resources together for coaches in very short bits. You're able to see those on social media, on his Facebook group, as well as on Twitter. And I believe he has an Instagram now as well. You're going to want to check those out. If you put in the hashtag Lyman Lunch, you'll be able to see some of those. But he talks to us about developing an O-line culture and really focuses on accountability, discipline, and being physical. Let's take a listen.
Well, the biggest thing we talk about in our line room is being disciplined, okay? There's a lot of lists in college. There's only two of them that are good, the Dean's List and the All-American List. The rest are generally bad. Here's a kid that didn't turn in his books at the end of the semester. Here's a kid that was late for study hall, slept through his community service project, yada, yada, yada. So we talk about it's better to be on no list than All-American and late to study hall. Those kind of counteract each other. So the accountability and the discipline are two things that I absolutely demand in our room. There's no exceptions to that, okay? Because you're going to hold that accountable. You're going to hold that to a high standard. You're going to be a reflection of your co-position groups, I believe, are. Secondly, on the field, I want them to be as physical as possible. I mean, within the rules and standards of the game, but to the limit. I don't want them to hold back. I want them to go and play hard, like their hair's on fire, and I want them to be as physically dominant as possible, all within the rules of the game, nothing dirty, okay? But I want them to get to the line of scrimmage and impose their will on people. We talk about that mental disposition all the time. It's us versus the world, okay? the O-line is last to do everything. They're last to get the gear. They're last to get this. They're last to get, well, some programs are a little bit different. But so that's just the O-linemen. Well, we're going to do the heavy lift. We're going to do hunting and straining and fighting and scrapping. So we got to think it's us versus everybody. We kind of have that chip on our shoulder, underdog mindset, and that drives our work ethic. So if anything, we ultimately discipline, accountability, and just tenacity. Get straining and being as physical as you can.
Our next segment comes from Joe Ashfield, the offensive line coach at Rice. Coach talks about the time it takes to get buy-in and how you have to grow together and put your players in positions to lead. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Well, first off, I'm really lucky to be in a place like Rice where you get the type of student athletes that we get, and we had it at Stanford, and it's one of the reasons we were so anxious and thankful to get this position at Rice, because we got spoiled at Stanford teaching some really intelligent guys. And when you teach guys like that, you become spoiled. And we have the same thing here at Rice. So I think one of the things we're doing is, like you mentioned, teaching them or getting them to understand just how important they are and how important that position and the group that they belong to is to the success of the team. Then you're trying to get them to buy into what you're trying to teach them, because what we're trying to teach them is different than what they learned before. And you're coming into a situation with a complete overhaul of the coaching staff and style of play. And that takes a little time. And I think that was one of the best things we did in spring ball, was get them to buy into our system, that it can work. You can come in and say, look at all the success we had at Stanford, but the guy's got to buy in and think it can work for them too. And that's a major hurdle we cleared this spring, I think, is belief that our system and our style can work for them. And the rest of it, really, it's got to be a little bit organic. When you're building that offensive line, they have to come together as a unit. People talk about that offensive line gelling all the time. And a lot of that is organic, and you're just really trying to promote an atmosphere where that sort of camaraderie and brotherhood can grow, rather than have it being forced on those guys. And I think every offensive line is a little different from year to year, but from school to school, certainly that room takes on its own, I guess, should we say, culture. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit different everywhere. And so we're not trying to force the Stanford model necessarily in that room. Certainly we're teaching a lot of the same things and a lot of the same attitude, but our offensive line room at Rice is going to be different than it was at Stanford. Because it has to be, because they're different guys, and they have to build it themselves. And I think my job as a coach is to foster an environment that allows that to happen. A part of that is finding leaders in the group and helping them grow into leadership roles, guys that I think have leadership ability. You can find leaders, but then I think you have to help mold them a little bit and put them in positions where they can, sort of like I did when I was overseas, make some things and kind of not – put them out totally where they're in charge of the room, but maybe they're in charge of a certain aspect of it. I found a couple guys who I've told, I want you to be kind of in charge of this aspect of what we do in training or in the room or in teaching the young guys. And you give them those roles that they can hopefully take the reins and go with, and you steer them along the way, but you give them the opportunity to grow as leaders and teachers in the room, and you see what comes of it. And what sort of, a lot of times it's a pleasant surprise what comes out and what type of unit you get. And so I'm anxious to see what type of unit we get.
Everybody knows Coach Herb Hand, and he talked to us while he was at Auburn. Now he's the offensive line coach at Texas. He talks to us about the importance of understanding shared accountability, trust, and that you have to be demanding to be able to build that culture within your offensive line. Let's listen to what Coach Herb Hand says about building offensive line culture.
I think the biggest thing in building your culture is understanding shared accountability. You know, that's one thing that we talk a lot about in our room, is just the, particularly with the offensive line, you know, and it's such a unit mentality. Having to develop that idea that, hey, I got your back, you got my back, I know I can count on you. And it all boils down to that trust factor, You know, in that, do you trust the guy that's sitting next to you or is standing next to you in the huddle or, you know, is getting ready to execute a particular play call on the field with you? You know, is the trust factor. And a lot of that is, to me, has been always developed through, you know, the kind of the shared hardships, you know, when you're putting a lot of pressure on guys and you're being very demanding of them. And, you know, and in our room, in our O-line room, we say that there's no secrets in the O-line room. There's no, you know, secret handshakes and winks and all that stuff. I love all those guys. They know that, but I'm going to be very demanding of them, and I want them to be very demanding of each other, and to develop that idea of shared accountability. I think once you have that in your unit, that if I was trying to or culture, if you will, in the offensive line unit at Auburn is that it's based on shared accountability and trust.
Coach Jonathan Heimbach currently is the offensive line coach at the XFL Tampa Bay Vipers, who are getting set to start their preseason. Previously, he was at the Toronto Argonauts, and he's been around college football at a high level as well. He talks to us about being a part of something bigger, how it's about being about five as one, and he shares his thoughts on giving a name to your group. Let's listen to what Heimbach has to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing when you take that eligible jersey off, and everybody goes through it at some point, they thought they were going to be a D lineman. They thought they were going to be a tight end. They thought they were going to be a fullback. And once you put that 50 to 79 on, you just got to put your ego aside, and you are now a part of something bigger than yourself, that you have to empower those guys, that group, that as a whole, they're just different than everybody else. Sure, you've got receiver groups, and you've got the quarterback room, and you've got the D-line, and you've got the corners, but ultimately, those guys are all independent contractors. You have to work five as one, and that the old adage of you know, if you strike something, if you punch someone, if you don't grasp all five fingers together and squeeze that fist tight, it's not going to be as strong as the individual finger that can break as an individual. Just the whole five links to the chain, whatever you want to make it, you know, I mean, I've had little different themes each season as you get to know your group of O-linemen. Hey, we've got to function five as one. And that five as one is kind of a logo and a motto that I've used. And it, you know, whether you give the guys the t-shirts or whether they're, you know, they get hats or they're the first ones that get to get on the bus. They get to go to training table first. They get the spaghetti meal first on the day before the game. You know, they get something a little bit different that, you know, you need those guys to function at a high level for the skill players to get the production that they're looking for. And as a head coach, as a position coach, if you can make those guys feel special for being included in that group, then there'll be total buy-in. And whether it's the, you know, the theme, you know, my guys in Toronto this year, we're going to be the goon squad. You know, I mean, we're just kind of the down and dirty blue collar goon squad. And that's just who we are. And we've all been there at the high school level, but even at the college and professional level, we all want to be included. Yeah. It's a society where everybody wants to be a part of something more than just themselves. And that is the offensive line. It's not about myself. It's not me. I'm part of a greater whole. It's what can I do to help our unit function at a high level. And as soon as you've got guys that want to make it about me and, hey, look at me type of deal, and they're worried about the name on the back of the jersey, all those cliches, look, you've got to get that ship righted. You got to get that guy to be a part of the unit, to be a part of the group. And however you want to build that culture, there's a lot of different ways to do it. But as soon as they buy into whatever you're selling and what type of namesake that they may have. When I was the offensive line coach at Nevada, there was a tradition built in Reno and Nevada that they were the union. They were the hard work and hard hat, punch the clock, show up every single day type of unit that was different than everybody else. And you know, everybody's got, you know, the band of brothers, the, you know, however you want to build it. But mm-hmm. if you can establish a culture in that unit rather than the individual, then it's really a fun group to be around.
Prior to the season, we had the opportunity to talk with Cody Kennedy, who is the offensive line coach at Tulane. He shared with us his thoughts on clear standards, positive interaction, communication, camaraderie, and connection, and how all of those things come together to build your O-line culture. Let's listen to what Coach Kennedy told us here on the podcast.
You know, coaching offensive line, I absolutely love it. I think the guys are just, you know, truly built different. Like you said, there's not a lot of, you know, flashiness to the job. It's a thankless job. It's a blue-collar mentality. You know, when you're building that culture, you know, I go back to it, but you've got to have clear position group standards. And I always ask my guys a question, who do you want to be? And in other words, what do you want your reputation to be? What do you want to be known for? What's your brand? You use tape within your meetings to consistently, you know, reiterate that. You know, show the good, show the bad, show when standards are being met, show when they're not. But you got to make a heavy focus on that. I think another thing with building building culture and another great thing is having a positive meeting room interaction. You got to make that meeting room a place where you can build confidence and learn. And it's got to be open lines of communications. You got to fight to really – you don't want your group to clam up in the meeting room. You want to be able to communicate at a high level, encourage opinions, you know, kind of bring – open-ended questions up to players if they like the technique they see on tape or if they wish they would do, you know, would do something different. But, you know, really trying to get them engaged. And, you know, when you hear people talk amongst the group, you kind of build camaraderie and build trust in each other. If everybody knows what everybody else is doing, that kind of goes with what you were talking about as, you know, as far as building that trust and camaraderie. Everybody knows. It also helps you as a coach if, you know, if they can't talk about it or, you know, if they don't have a great answer to what you want them to be saying, then you need to reiterate that as a coach. And, you know, the biggest thing is build confidence in there, man. It's a rough game in there and along the trenches. And those guys got to be confident in what they're doing. And, you know, that's a huge thing. You know, and we talked about another thing as well as building that camaraderie. I try to come in every day to the meeting room and just be a normal person. Ask them normal questions. Hey, how's your day going? Different things like that to connect with the guys and not really roll into the meeting room and just be a robot. You know, you want to build that connection with guys and allow those guys to build a connection among themselves. So just the first couple minutes, I know a lot of us are strapped for time in meetings and, you know, different things like that. But I think it's good for those guys to see you not as a coach and more as a mentor and be able to check on those guys. And that's, you know, a big thing as far as building that culture. Also, create adversity, you know, put them in situations that are uncomfortable, whether that's new positions, whether that's the bell ringer, putting them on the board drawing, that may be uncomfortable for guys, putting them in different new looks, you know, looks that may be difficult. See how they adapt to that adversity. You know, through that adversity, you're going to build that camaraderie, you're going to build that culture that you guys want to, you know, that everybody wants to see within that position group. And I think those are some great points as far as, you know, what I try to implement to cement that culture within my room.
Bart Miller, who is the offensive line coach of the Wyoming Cowboys, joined us on the home team series. And here he talked about the measure of discipline, standards, there being a way that we do things, and the importance of caring in building an offensive line culture. Let's hear what he talked to Coach Joel Nellis about on the home team series.
There has to be a measure of discipline. There has to be, you know, this kind of, but not a battle, but the kids have to know that there is an order. There's a measure of what is expected of them. There's a standard. You know, there's a certain way we do things, and the expectation. And if it's not there, you're gonna face the consequences, and we're gonna get that out of you, however that is. And the other thing they need to know is that you care about them, right? And that's just like at home. I mean, the kids, you love your children more than anything, but at the same time, they can make you madder than anything. And so there's got to be ways that can't, you can't just give them everything. You have to make them earn things and work for things and teach them those principles in life. And I think that certainly carries over. Is you want to be hard and disciplined with your players, but at the same time, they've got to know that it's coming from a foundation of love and trust and respect, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to torture you for 3 years. It's hey, I'm going to make you better. This is the way you can. It's not going to be all sunshine and roses and all that, but at the same time, you're going to be great. And this is, it's, you're going to have a very enjoyable experience if you put everything you have into it. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing, is just that tough love principle. Those guys got to know you care about them, because if they do, they'll do anything for you. As hard as you make it, or as hard as it is, if they know that deep down you care, they'll do anything for you. So that at the end of the day, that's all it is. Just getting those guys to play as hard as they can.
Sam Parker is the offensive line coach of the 2018 Division II runner-up Ferris State Bulldogs. And he joined us on the podcast. There was a great segment that we ended up writing a blog about, and he talks a little bit about how he has his team really get their mental reps and watch everything. He's going to talk about that as part of their culture here. He also talks about their role on the team, how they see themselves as guardians, that there's a mindset along with that, and again, goes into how they watch practice together, how they watch games together, how they watch film together. And he shares all of that and how they use that to build their culture of learning and improving and really coming together as a unit.
So every year I understand the personality types there in my guys. And then I give them like who we are as our role on the team. So last year we're protectors, we're guardians. That's nature of the offensive line position. We're, enforcers, basically, to make sure everybody feels safe and secure. So that's just our mindset. And really, I mean, we were, the biggest responses to that was that we were the NWO, the old wrestling organization from the WCW with Hulk Hogan and those guys. But, you know, the offensive, I'm a big professional wrestling guy. I don't know if my players are, but they always react very, very positively when I go through it. So it's kind of tongue in cheek and fun. But that's, kind of our personality, and our role. And then within that, everybody in my unit has a role. Obviously you've got, most offensive line coaches have your five starters and maybe disregard everybody else in that room. I've got probably seven dudes that are starters that, need to be ready to play at any time. I've got the next wave of guys that need to play multiple positions and be ready to, to coach those dudes. And then, you got your scout team guys that you need to keep, going and make sure that they feel included. So one of the things that we do is we switch our scout team personnel for meetings. So we'll take the defensive line young guys once in a while, and they'll take the, our defensive line will take the offensive guys so they can at least watch their practice and understand what the other, what to do better technique wise. And then, dudes that are in that capacity are my eyes and help me coach. Like, to give you an example of what we do to like make sure everybody feels or everybody has a role during the game. And I got this from Coach Frazier over at Central Michigan. He's the offensive line coach there. I line up my dudes directly next to me on the sidelines, and we watch the game together. They watch their position. If something good happens, they say it. And I've got a student assistant that stands next to us and takes down all the notes. So when the series ends, you know, we go over to the bench. Well, now you've got five dudes, six dudes that were watching, you know, each of their positions, talking to the dude that was just on the field while I'm sitting there recapping the notes and able to discuss it with them. So, you know, we're working a lot more effectively and a lot smarter than most other places. But that, you know, that's just some of the stuff we do to make sure everybody's got a role and everybody feels good about, you know, what we're doing.
Oklahoma has had one of the best offenses over the last several years under head coach Lincoln Riley. And a big part of that really is due to what they do on the offensive line. And they're led by offensive line coach Bill Biedenboe. He talks to us in this next segment about the expectations of the offensive line coach. And he certainly recognizes that at their level, they have the ability to recruit guys who fit to that. And he talks about some of those aspects, as well as being more than football, that there's things you have to do. You have to connect with these guys. As always, the game will end, and you want to teach them something that carries them in life more than just playing the offensive line. Let's listen to Coach Biedenboe's thoughts on culture.
We don't really have a nickname or anything like that. I think it just comes from more your expectations as an offensive line coach, the players understanding those expectations, and the players that permeate throughout the whole group. And recruiting, for us, recruiting, I guess the NFL's different, high school's different. I never coached in either of those. I've always been in college, but trying to do the best you can to recruit guys that fit your culture. Is it always going to be perfect? No, it's not. But then obviously having those, being around those guys, I think coaching any position, about them more than just a football player. I think that's huge. I mean, it's not just about football. Yeah, we're teaching you offensive line, but hopefully we're teaching you more than offensive line. We're teaching you about life and how to be a great son and husband, father, whenever those times that time comes, being in the community, whatever job you get, teaching you how to be successful in that. It's not just 100% about offensive line. So it's doing those things, having them. Just Monday, I had the guys over to eat, cooked out for them. They hang out with my family, just being around them, showing them that you care about them. Mm-hmm.
Coach Doug Patterson has been the offensive line coach at Division II St. Cloud State since 2007. In this next segment, he talks to us about building culture in a way that he wants these guys to be able to understand their assignments, that it's an important part of their culture, and that he gives them homework every single day so that they can get better, in addition to the improvements that he wants to see in building that as part of their culture. He wants to have interaction, and he really wants these guys to have a say in what they're doing. He wants to empower them really to take ownership in their job.
Well, in season, I think when you get it in, you know, install is a little bit different because install, we spend a lot of time them asking questions and doing that. When we get into the season, I think the in season is, again, I want them, when our practice is over, each night they have a basic homework assignment, right? When practice is over, it's posted on Huddle. They go home that night. They watch all the film. And then I ask them to, some nights I have them grade themselves every snap. But I always have them have their questions. And our position meeting doesn't start with me talking. Our position meeting starts with, all right, left tackle, what are your questions from practice? What are your concerns? What didn't you understand? Or what did you maybe think we should be doing, how we should block something? He asks a question, then we go to the left guard, the center, the right guard, right tackle. And they kind of, that's how we go through the meeting, is them talking through the things. Obviously, I have my notes of corrections. And one of the things I've found is that tells me I get a pretty good gauge of who we are and what we know. Because if when they're all done asking their questions, I still have a whole bunch of things left that are correct that I think we need to correct. Obviously, we don't quite understand where we're at. When we have old guys, when they're all done with their questions, a lot of times all my questions are already gone. So again, I think it's that interaction and them having that say and them learning how to do that, that I think has helped us eliminate, when we get in the game on Saturday, eliminate mistakes. We know where we're going. We can handle a lot of different things, because that's part of, on game day, how do you handle all the things that happen? I always tell those guys, it's not Matt. I don't have a controller on the sideline. I can't control you. You guys have to solve your problem. Playing online is problem solving. So they have to be able to solve those problems on their own.
Boy, Coach Jason Hotellinger, Coach Haas, as he's known, is now the head coach at Wagner. Before that, he was the offensive line coach and really was known for developing his offensive line units, and they're still such an important part of his team. He talks about how they are one unit, how performance goes into this as well, that what he calls the hands-eye-feet cycle, base fundamentals, as well as communication, and having players understand why and how they do things. Let's take a listen to how all those things come together to form their offensive line culture at Wagner.
Yeah, I think it starts with understanding that you're one unit. You know, the game of football now with the matchups, and there's been some individuality that have come into play a little bit, but that offensive line has to play together. And you know what? At the end of the day, no one can really do their job on offense if that O line doesn't get done what they have to get done. So, number one, first day of camp or first day in the summer when you have them all together, fellas, we need each other, and we have to work with each other. So that starts right away. And then I think the development, you go run game, pass game. Again, I've always talked about eyes, hands, feet. Where are your eyes? Where are your hands? Where are your feet? And then once you get into a block, it's about from the base, it's feet, hands, eyes. So it's almost like a cycle, you know, eyes, hands, feet, pre-snap, feet, hands, eyes, post-snap. So, you know, we get into that a lot. Base fundamentals of offensive line play are not different. You know, whether you're a college guy who, you know, and that's the big argument now is how you're going to block things. Are you going to be a guy that lifts, you know, and stands straight up off the ball or, you know, it goes back and forth, but at the end of the day, fundamentally in the run game, you want to stay attached. And in the pass game, you want to keep them off you. You know, you want to play as long as you possibly can in the pass game. And then you want your eyes under either their chin or in their armpit, whatever your scheme calls for. And I think, you know, as far as developing those guys here, you know, it starts with the effort mentality. You know, you're a grinder. You're going to come off the ball and for 4 to 6 seconds or however long it takes, you are going to try and keep your man from getting near the football. You know, you have to know where your help is. We talk about the combination blocks. If I'm the right tackle or I'm the guard or I'm the center or whatever, there's only a few things that defender can do. If he's on the ball, he can go around you, he can go through you, or he can go inside of you. Those are the three things he can do, right? So now if I have a guy on me, I have to know how I'm going to react to every one of those things. If I'm a guy who doesn't have a guy on me and he's off the ball, well, okay, who am I helping? How am I helping? You know, and what am I going to do if that guy comes inside or goes outside or tries to go through? So I think you have to break it down in the simplest form. And, you know, and then you have to play with great leverage and great effort. So the development's been there. You know, we've had a lot of success on the offensive line since 2007. And like I said, I think that was my first year as the O-line guy. You know, and I think it's just the effort has to be there. And then why you're doing things and how you're doing things.
Well, there you have it. Thoughts from 10 very successful and effective offensive line coaches on how they build their culture. And they all shared something a little bit different. Hopefully there's some takeaways from you as you think about how you want to develop your offensive line unit in 2020. Be sure to check out all we're doing on Twitter at FBDEV Coach. We have some great stuff there every single day. A chance for you to interact. We always have our Your Call up in the off season. That's 3 times a week where we put a scenario up for you and you get to have the chalk and go against the defense. And then we share what that play came from, the play and the game it came from the next day in the video. And we see how the teams handled it there. So check that out at FBDEV Coach on Twitter. check out our system for blocking and defeating blocks. I highly recommend this. It's been designed by some of the best coaches in football, used at all levels, a very effective way to block, something we did when I was at Baldwin Wallace in 2010. And the techniques are just outstanding. Check that out at footballdevelopment.com. Register with your email address and get access to 3 free videos from that system.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.